Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. We are back. It is the happy hour. It is the happy hour here on Theoretically Speaking on a Friday. We are gearing into the weekend. There's no better happy hour than a Friday happy hour because you don't have any real responsibilities the next day, right? So when you hit the happy hour on Friday, you can actually parlay that into a nice night out. You can sleep in if you want to. And again, you could do that even now, even with football season back, because it's a noon kickoff. Noon kickoff at the big house. C-Cat, you had me fooled too when you gave out your cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You had me fooled. When you start, I was like, how can you pick? We picked Texas to cover as one of our picks in the punchline picks against Russo and Rizzo. We picked Texas to cover at the big house, -7.5. And then you started teasing up like you were going to pick Michigan and mm-hmm. cats and dogs, but you were talking about Western Michigan.
I had you right where I wanted you.
Pretty good. That's really good writing, man.
Thank you. The misdirection, it's all intentional.
Yeah.
You know?
It's pretty good. This guy right here, you say you don't read a lot, but hey, pretty good writer. I bet you if the more you read, you get even craftier with that pen.
Possibly.
It was crafty the way that one man dominated last night. It was also reminiscent of exactly what he did in the AFC Championship game last year in Baltimore at the bank. And I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes. Definitely not talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about a coach on the sideline for the Kansas City Chiefs who doesn't get enough recognition for his impact on these kind of matchups, especially those with the Chiefs and the Ravens, and the way that he has driven football over the past decade plus. We're about to get into that with the Chiefs-Ravens. Chiefs beat the Ravens last night, by the way, 27-20. If you didn't hear, if you didn't see, it was Isaiah Likely catching the ball in the back of the end zone, barely, just like the Kevin Durant three-pointer against, I believe, what was that, the Celtics? I think it was the Celtics. Just like that, just a tiptoe over the line, and that didn't count. The catch did not count. But for a second, C-Cat, we thought that it did. We thought the Ravens had tied it up. We thought John Harbaugh was about to call for going for two for the Ravens, and they might win the game as time expired at Arrowhead Stadium. And that moment that we all experienced together as a nation, right, that roller coaster of emotions we all experienced, that is our EDS air conditioning and plumbing coolest moment of the week. Take it away, Kevin Harlan.
What's cooler than being cool? I like cool.
Time now for the coolest moment of the week, presented by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDS is yes.
Shotgun snap. He moves up in the pocket. Right tackle block. He runs around in a circle. Cocks his arm. Throws in the end zone. It's caught in the back of the end zone with the feet down. Likely got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Baltimore! Likely! Back of the end zone. And a leap holds it down.
The ruling of touchdown.
He caught it. Where his feet in. Oh, one was. And the toe of the other looks like it's on the chalk.
Absolutely not. And like I told them at the bar last night, you can't go for two until you score a touchdown. PEMDAS, order of operations. Sorry, Ravens fans. We were at the bar. I was getting teased. I was getting harassed. You can check out that video on ESPN West Palm. Play on YouTube at ESPN West Palm. You can check out that video of the Ravens fans pre-celebrating and then me dunking on them afterwards because they lost. And I wouldn't have done that if y'all weren't so hostile to me in that moment. But that's the EDS air conditioning and plumbing coolest moment of the week. It's brought to you by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. If you want to lock in with a place that makes your house less hostile because they're able to make sure your air conditioning works, it operates properly, it pumps cool air in, it takes heat out if you want it to. It also can, you know, get your stuff right for the heat for the winter. Maybe you turn on the heat out here in South Florida when it gets to about, you know, 65 or 70 degrees for 2 days. EDSisYes.com. EDSisYes.com. That's the website to tap in for all your air conditioning and plumbing needs. They're your trusted AC experts in Palm Beach County. They've got a 4.8-star Google rating with over 760 reviews and counting. They've been keeping you cool since 2006. You got 24/7 support. You can get that service right around your schedule. You just hop online, edsisyes.com, and you schedule something around your day, around your schedule. And not only do they show up on time, they'll send you a text with a picture of the technician that's going to service you, as well as a little bio about him. My guy, Randy, I haven't talked to him in a minute. I need to chop it up with him soon. He did text me and ask me if I was in a fantasy draft, if I've done some fantasy drafts this year. And I said, yeah. And I asked him if he had, and he didn't text me back. Probably because he was servicing somebody, because EDS is yes.com. EDS, always taking care of their customers. Hit me back, Randy. Are you in a draft? How's it going? I don't know. C-Cat. This is the time of the year where all football fans remain optimistic because even a week one loss in the NFL, heck, a week one loss in college football doesn't eliminate you from anything. It just gives you another data point on where your team stands. It gives you another data point on where you are when it comes to the landscape of either college or pro football. That's what everybody's debating today, though, because after the Ravens lose in the opener against the Chiefs, on the road, by the way, as dogs, now I'm getting all of this rhetoric, whether it be on Get Up, whether it be on First Take, whether it be on random guys' Twitter page. Maybe Russo and Rizzo are going to give you this kind of take later on. You know, their show starts at 4 o'clock. I was talking to Colin earlier. He thinks the Ravens need to overhaul the whole way that Lamar Jackson plays quarterback. Yeah, tune in at 4 for that. Colin Russo letting you know that Lamar Jackson's been playing quarterback the wrong way. I think 2 MVPs and a Heisman. Yeah, that doesn't matter for anything. Here's what I have to tell you about what happened with the Chiefs and the Ravens last night, because it's the truth. It's the honest truth. It's the honest truth. And as we have a golf war going on in our YouTube chat right now at Theo Speaking, really the war that's going on right now in professional football in the AFC is between two coaches, not Andy Reid and John Harbaugh. It's between Steve Spagnuolo and Todd Monken. Offensive coordinator Todd Monken for the Baltimore Ravens has been getting coached in circles. He has been getting pretzeled up by that guy on the other side, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, the most elite one in the league, C-Cat. And I don't say this as a guy that's parading around. I say this as a guy that's trying to offer a reason as to why the Ravens keep finding themselves in these tricky situations, why they keep finding themselves in disadvantageous places at big moments in the game. Everybody on their couch wants to blame Lamar Jackson. It feels more like Spags putting guys in position against Lamar Jackson in that offense and Todd Monken not offering the right answers. Do we have Lamar Jackson responding to that play that everybody's been talking about today, the pass to Zay Flowers? We don't have that. We do not have that sound. We have the sound of Lamar Jackson, though, talking about him not having the Chiefs as a boogeyman.
I don't think we
do not have that either.
I don't know when he said
just
that.
Like I don't, we don't have the sound. Monken has not had the answers, and it's because of that one man on the other side of the sideline. I want to give you a quick history lesson here. As people are beating up on Lamar Jackson, which is not the day to do that. I think we have a lot more season to go. He's got a lot more roadway to learn how to get deeper into this offense and also get Derrick Henry going. You know where Steve Spagnuolo was in 2008. When we had the most prolific offensive season we had seen in the history of the NFL, we had the first perfect regular season that we had since the Miami Dolphins did it in 72. And we also had a Patriots team with Tom Brady and Randy Moss that were setting records left and right, heading into a Super Bowl, trying to cap off the first 19-0 season against a Giants team that didn't just come in as underdogs, heavy dogs. You know where Steve Spagnuolo was then in 2008, Super Bowl 42?
Where?
He was on the sideline for the New York Giants. And you know what he was doing? He was coaching that defense. The defensive coordinator for the Giants, that team. That you remember that Super Bowl by David Tyree's helmet catch. You might remember it by the Plaxico Burress game-winning touchdown for the Giants. But you don't remember the fact that a team that was averaging 36 points per game, a team that was virtually unstoppable all year long, got outdueled by a Giants roster that, I mean, you had Hall of Famers, right? You had Michael Strahan up front, but most importantly, you had Steve Spagnuolo on the sideline calling that defense in a game where the Giants had the answers for Tom Brady in his prime. Fast forward a little bit, right? Because in 2008, when Steve Spagnuolo was doing that, you want to know what Todd Monken was doing?
What's that?
Coaching the Jaguars wide receivers. his first NFL job. Not a bad job to have. But, again, that's where he was at. His first NFL job as Steve Spagnuolo was helping the Giants win the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and Randy Moss. One of the best teams we've ever seen. We had Todd Monken getting his first gig in the NFL. Now we fast forward to three Super Bowl titles later with the Chiefs. That's four total titles for Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator who has gone up against elite offenses time after time again. And on the other side for the Ravens, who we criticized Baltimore in the AFC Championship game because, well, how do you only run the ball six times in a game when you have one of the most prolific rushing attacks in the NFL all season long? You've relied on that every single game, every single day. And you go away from it in the biggest game of the year? And then you have last night, where everybody's complaining about how many touches or runs Derrick Henry is getting down the stretch and how Monken was again shying away from it. How on that 4th-and-3, you have a play where Zay Flowers is going out in some kind of bubble screen and you have Nelson Agholor supposed to block Trent McDuffie, but he runs a go route and McDuffie just tackles Zay Flowers in the backfield. Like, those kind of miscommunications and plays. And then on the last couple of plays of the game last night, Thursday Night Football, Arrowhead Stadium, Lamar Jackson catches the ball in the shotgun snap, and you got Justice Hill next to you, C-Cat, trying to block Chris Jones one-on-one. You can say that's on Lamar Jackson. Maybe he didn't check the protections right. You can say that's on just the Ravens offensive line for not setting up. I don't know. I'm not a complex NFL mind like that. But what I do know is it seems like every time the Ravens and Chiefs have faced off, your second-year offensive coordinator in Todd Monken has gotten out X's and O's by a guy that has done it at an elite level for longer than Monken's been in the NFL, and Steve Spagnuolo. That's been the difference in these two games between the Chiefs and Ravens. And as we ask the question, which team in the AFC is built to and can beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, I still think the Ravens are best built for it. I still think that they are the best candidate for that. But I do think it's going to take Todd Monken getting more reps as a play caller in the NFL and learning from his mistakes. Last night was another data point for Todd Monken. Let's see what he does with it, and let's see what happens come December and January when the games matter to a larger extent. Because this is week one, and it didn't matter, C-Cat. How far off base do you feel like I am with that? Because I do still think your Ravens are the biggest threats to the Chiefs.
Yeah, this game meant so much more to Baltimore than it did Kansas City. So you think that would help them win this game, but more so it made them look dumb after the game and made them look childish today when we wake up and we see how they're reacting to losing that game, complaining about the officiating, even Harbaugh on the sideline saying you got to call it both ways. Like, you sound as if you are a little league baseball coach and you're yelling at the 14-year-old umpire who's behind the plate. That's what you sound like when you complain about the officiating in a game that got this close. I understand it's deflating to get a big chunk play and have that come back because of an illegal substitution or an illegal formation or a hold. I understand how that can be frustrating when Patrick Mahomes gets hit or is going out of bounds. Maybe he plays it up a little bit, but if you're on that sideline, you're not complaining at the officials if you're smart. You're telling your teammates, don't touch the guy if he's out of bounds. It's the second half now. We could have sent a message in the first quarter. Could have sent a message in the second quarter. Now those 15-yard penalties are magnified that much. So as much as the X's and O's on the field, how I saw these two teams match up made me more optimistic about the Ravens contending for the AFC crown this year. It's all between the ears. It's all between the ears. It's the boogeyman mentality where if they think there are these ulterior reasons as to why they're not winning these games against the modern-day dynasty of the Chiefs, if they think it's not controllable by themselves, then you're never going to beat the team. If you think you have no control over this, if it's the officiating, or if it's something that you cannot control, you will never win this game. If you believe you have control over the football game and believe that if Lamar Jackson hits Zay Flowers across the end zone on the play before the final play of the game, you will win the game.
I absolutely love the perspective you have on that, especially as a Ravens fan, especially being more level-headed than to try and write off a week one loss as, oh, the officials took over. Oh, the officials gave it to him. Oh, the refereeing was so bad, because it honestly wasn't. Roquan Smith, two hands shoved Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes clearly out of bounds, like a good 2 or 3 feet out of bounds, both feet out of bounds on the thick white sideline, and the officials held their flag. I thought that was, I was actually, even as a Chiefs fan, I'm like, I'm glad you didn't, because that would have just given them another reason, another excuse as to how the officials got in the way, when in reality, it's your own undisciplined nature.
You're an adult. Control yourself. Is that crazy to comprehend that these guys are in their 20s and 30s to show restraints? I know it's an emotional football game, but if you want to win the football game, you control yourself.
You have to. And I would hope that if you're John Harbaugh right now and you're going into this week of practice, but the problem is, like you said, Harbaugh's complaining too. If you're Harbaugh, the kind of tone you're setting this week of practice is one more of accountability, one more of control what you can control, and also one of a positive belief that they can contend with the Chiefs, because I do think they're best set forward. I don't think the Bills or the Bengals have a chance. The only reason why people think Cincinnati can beat the Chiefs is because they believe they can. That's literally every time. Like, ask somebody to give you a real, like, why are the Bengals the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC? What is it about Joe Burrow? What is it about that now depleted defense? What is it about Joe Mixon's not there anymore? Jamar Chase is begging for more money. I can't wait to get. We didn't even get to Jamar Chase.
We didn't get to him yet. We got him soon.
Okay, we'll get to him. Jamar Chase, electric. I love it. But the only reason why people think the Bengals can beat the Chiefs is because they believe they can. And technically, they did do it in that AFC Championship game back then. But they have the belief between the ears, like C-Cat said. And I think the Ravens actually do, but they're going to have to, like, stop kind of coating themselves in this bath of excuses and get out there and do it. They almost did it. They were a step and a two-point conversion away from doing it last night. And I still think they're the biggest threat to the Chiefs. The Bengals and Bills, there's a chasm between not just the quarterback play, but the actual talent on the roster on both sides and the coaching when it comes to the Bengals and Bills. You can't tell me one phase of the game that the Bengals or Bills have better or equal to the Chiefs right now.
I think vertical passing. I think that...
Do they?
I think, yeah, I think so. You're
right. You can say that right now, like, okay, but we saw some Xavier Worthy. We just saw a hint of what he could do. By the end of the year, if he's running vertical routes, I mean, he's the fastest dude to ever run a 40 in the NFL.
I think people believe the Bengals can dethrone the Chiefs at least for a season, can repeat what they did in the past just because they saw it before. People are kind of simple-minded in a smart way where let me see it first. And, well, they saw it, so they believe, well, it can happen again.
I'm not mad at people for believing that, but the reason for it, like, if your only belief in that is because you did see it a few years ago when you have a less evolved Patrick Mahomes, when you had a up-and-coming Bengals team, which it was all new to everybody. Let's not forget, Steve Spagnuolo, he got a data point in. We've also seen the Chiefs beat the Bengals in the playoffs since then. And it doesn't feel like they've closed the gap any further. Defensively, the Chiefs are better. Coaching-wise, the Chiefs are better. Quarterback-wise, the Chiefs are better. Offensive line, the Chiefs are better. You're saying they have a vertical passing threat. The Ravens actually have points where you can say the Baltimore squad has the edge on Kansas City. There's a lot of different points you can actually point to. Hey, I believe in Baltimore's ability to do this over Kansas City, and I think they have that over the Chiefs in more areas than any other AFC team. I want to hear from you, though. I want to hear from y'all, especially on the heels of last night's game. 27-20, the Chiefs, the two-time defending champions, take out the Ravens, and they get everybody to come out with their hot takes. Who in the AFC has the best chance to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? It's clearly the Ravens. There's no other team that can confidently say that and also back it up on the field, especially if a Chiefs fan that watches these things and also gets more nervous against that Baltimore team. Who in the AFC can actually beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, please. And tell me, because who better than the Ravens to do it? Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery, as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. 888-760-3776. Who in the AFC poses the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, not in the regular season, but in the playoffs? You can't tell me one squad. We put a poll out on ESPN West Palm, C-Cat.
Yeah.
We put a poll out on ESPN West Palm. I'm trying to get you the results right now, live and in action. Breaking news here, the reaction to the poll of which team has the best shot of beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. At 40% in first place, your Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. It was a good game last night.
It was. It was. At 27%, the Cincinnati Bengals, again, just because they believe. At 13%, the new-look Buffalo Bills. One team that I can't wait to see how they're actually going to play football on the field this year. And then at 20%, actually in third place, the Houston Texans, the darling of the NFL. And we have one write-in from Vinny that says the Dolphins.
All right, dude.
Yeah.
Vinny, lay off. You're drinking now? The weekend just started, dude.
It is I know it's happy hour here on Theoretically Speaking. We don't have Tina and Dean, by the way. They're going to be here. Dean's going to be showing up on every Thursday. Dean Thomas, you know him from the UFC. He's actually coaching up his fighter right now for UFC 306. In Vegas. So he'll be back next week on Thursday. Tina's here every single day with us, weekly now, or daily now, from 3 to about 3:45-ish for the happy hour. She'll be back next week. She's on a bachelorette trip.
Yeah. So, this station's got a bad history of unveiling a new lineup and then that lineup not being there for the first week.
Right.
What's the point of that?
I was so excited. I was so excited when we found out we got Tina every day now. We got Tina every day. We got tea time. We got the happy hour. I was excited about that. And then she instantly announces after day one, yeah, I got to go.
Posting boomerangs.
She's having a great time out there in Tampa or something. She's having a great time. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll get her back next week. We'll pick her brain about that bachelorette trip. But C-Cat, I think it's, I hear something. What is that? This music kind of reminds me of Tom and Jerry.
That's a dumb comment. It's Mission Impossible.
I know. Oh, yeah. But it reminds me of Tom and Jerry. All right, I don't care. You don't know who Rudy Tomjanovich is.
I got to watch that.
Or Kermit Washington. Yeah. But I'm wrong. You're right. I look like an idiot right now. I don't watch a lot of movies. What? This is trivia time. When you hear that music, it's trivia time, C-Cat.
Play along at home. Because last night we saw Patrick Mahomes take the throne as the Kansas City Chiefs' all-time passing leader.
Damn right.
Passing Len Dawson.
15.
28,715 yards. Mahomes started his career in 2017. He's already at the top of the Chiefs franchise. My question for you, Theo, how many active quarterbacks are there in the NFL right now that also hold the title of any team's all-time passing leader? They don't have to be with that team right now. They just have to be any team in the NFL's all-time passing leader. Active quarterbacks that are at the top of a franchise passing list.
I absolutely love this question, C-Cat. You outdid yourself. This is by far your best trivia question you've given me since we've started doing trivia here on Theoretically Speaking. This is going to take some time, so I'll write my names down over the break. We'll deliver the answer on the other side. They've got to be an active quarterback. Before we go to the break, though, can I ask one thing?
Sure thing. It's your show.
Does Tom Brady count?
No. He's in the booth. He's
just making sure.
He is retired. He's not count.
So active quarterbacks is in there on a roster today.
Yes.
Not a free agent. Okay. Cool. All right. So we'll give you the answer there. How many active quarterbacks, including Patrick Mahomes, are an all-time leading passer for a franchise in the NFL? On the other side, too, we also are going to get some action in with the midday midterms. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We are streaming live on YouTube, but I've hidden the chat. I have hidden the stream because last time we did trivia here, C-Cat, we had people giving out answers in the stream and I didn't want to cheat. I'm a man of integrity. Instead, in front of me, I have a list of the NFL teams, all 32 NFL logos, just to jog my brain, because you gave me an interesting trivia question based off of the fact that Patrick Mahomes last night, on a pass to Travis Kelce en route to a victory over the Ravens, became the Chiefs' all-time leading passer when it comes to yards. What was that trivia question again, C-Cat?
How many active quarterbacks are in the NFL today? Can also say they are the leading passer of a franchise in the NFL. Not the team they're playing for, or it could be the team they're playing for. Who knows? But they are an active franchise leading passer.
The reason why this question is so hard is because obviously the NFL has shifted, football in general has shifted into such a pass-heavy league that like, you could be the all-time leading passer for a franchise and be maybe the third or fourth best quarterback in the history of that franchise, but you just slung the ball around more. So it's tough, but I do have some locks. I have some locks. So you're asking me how many. I'm going to actually try and name all of them. So don't tell me if I get this number right or not, because I'm just going to go name by name. But what I calculated out, that at most the number is 9. I start with the easiest lock. That's Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. Are you serious? Brett Favre got him?
Yeah, man.
So I lost off the jump. Okay, can I at least try for the rest?
You might get the number right, because you might get somebody wrong if you should.
Right. Golly, that was that. Okay, Mahomes. Stafford with the Lions. Nice. Russell Wilson with the Seahawks. It's easy. This is a good one right here. This is a good one. Joe Flacco. Elite Joe Flacco with the Baltimore Ravens. Come on now. Some people would have missed that. All right, so we got 4 so far. I thought Aaron Rodgers. Wow, Aaron. You got see? Another reason why. I mean, come on. Get your stuff together, Aaron Rodgers. Mahomes, Stafford, Russell Wilson, Flacco. Okay, of the next 4 possibles I have on here, I shouldn't have this name on here. I have on here Deshaun Watson with the Texans. I'm not saying his name. I'm close to crossing it out, because it's either David Carr or Deshaun Watson. Carr spent so much time on his back for the Texans. I don't know if he threw for enough yards. And when Watson was good, he was slinging a thing around. He had like a 5,000-yard passing season. I'm going to come back to Watson. How about I do this one? This was a tough one for me to even write down. Wait. Oh, Ryan Tannehill's not on the roster right now.
Nope.
Okay, that solves that for me, and I hope he's not the Tennessee Titans' all-time leading passer. Is that Steve McNair? We don't know.
I don't know.
We'll look it up.
I'm bouncing around.
All right, let's go to the Raiders. Let's get Derek Carr out the way. Easy. All right, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got Mahomes, Stafford, Wilson, Flacco, Derek Carr. That's actually 5. I got 5 names so far of quarterbacks that are active in the league and also an all-time leading passer in the NFL. I have down here a man that is en route to maybe the biggest payday in the history of the NFL at any position, but specifically quarterback. And again, I'm on the fence. Tony Romo played for a long time for the Dallas Cowboys, but Dak Prescott literally played since rookie season was 2016. It is now 2024. He only missed 1 year. And the Cowboys have been like a heavy passing offense since, like, I would say like 2018, 2019. So that's like 5 or 6 years of elite production from Dak Prescott when it comes to yards in a season. You got Aikman, you got Romo. This is going to sound stupid, but Dak Prescott. Ah, golly. All right, so I guess the answer would be then 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just 5. It's 5. The answer is 5. I got all of them right. Wilson, Mahomes, Stafford, Flacco, and Derek Carr. Deshaun Watson is not the all-time passing leader for the Texans. He is? What?
Wait, sorry. I'm confused. Flipped those out.
Is Deshaun Watson the I'm saying
no,
definitively.
You're forgetting about Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub is a leading passer for the Texans. You also got the number wrong. The final total is 6.
6. So I got 5 out of the 6. Can you? Dang. I don't know. Just give it to us. Who's the answer?
Of course, Mahomes last night passed Len Dawson. We had him already. You're forgetting about famous Jameis Winston.
Oh, the Buccaneer. You know what's funny about that? I got to the Bucs, and I legitimately sat here. I'm looking at all the NFL teams, and I just finished the Saints, and then the Bucs were next, and I'm like, I know Drew Brees is the Saints. I get to the Bucs, like, who the hell was the quarterback before Tom Brady? I legit could not remember who the quarterback was before Tom Brady, and I'm thinking of all these older names, and I'm like, who the hell was throwing the ball around? Jameis Winston. How did I forget that?
Mahomes, Jameis Winston. Dang. Joe Flacco, he's still on a roster. He's with the Colts. Yes, you had that correct. Matt Stafford, of course, with the Rams right now, holds the record of the Lions. Derek Carr has the record for the Raiders. And Russell Wilson has it for the Seahawks. So there's only one active quarterback who's playing for the team that they hold the record for all-time passing yards, believe it or not. Just Patrick Mahomes.
Just Patrick Mahomes. And I'm also, there's 2 things I'm curious on, and I'm sorry. I'm forgetting a guy who literally my pops lived in the same neighborhood as, in Warren Moon, because I guess the Oilers days count for the Titans. He's the all-time leading passer for the Titans. I mentioned earlier with Watson and with Dak Prescott. I'm curious how close Dak is on the Cowboys all-time list. I'm also curious how close Deshaun Watson was to beating Matt Schaub. Because those are two guys that, again, you know, Dak played long enough for sure. Watson didn't play that long in Houston, but he threw for a lot of yards. And you're right, Schaub had some elite years because he had really good receiving talent. He had Andre Johnson. I think he had the front end of DeAndre Hopkins.
So we'll start with the Texans. Matt Schaub has 23,221 passing yards.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson,
14,539. So, I'm forgetting a lot of those days.
So Deshaun had second most. He's above David Carr. Who would you think is fourth?
Fourth on the Texans, all-time leading
passers. I'm not going to let you guess. It's Davis Mills.
I was going to go Davis. Really? Yeah, I really was. That's okay. The only other quarterback, really, that started a significant amount of games for them.
And then for the Cowboys.
Brock Osweiler or something. What else?
The Cowboys, Romo has the lead. Behind him, you have Aikman by about a little over 1,000. And Dak Prescott is behind by about 5,000 from Tony Romo.
Is it? I wonder if it's a catchable 5,000 yards. Because can Dak Prescott this year become the Cowboys' all-time leading passer?
Walk out the door with the record?
And walk out of the ultimate walk-off. Walk off as the all-time leading passer, a 5,000-yard passing season, likely again in the MVP conversation. And on top of that, go get the biggest bag in NFL history. You know how much that would tick off Jerry Jones and Cowboys fans? The most yards Dak has thrown for in a season was 2019. He threw for 4,900. And that was in 16 games. If he had a 17th game that season, he's eclipsing 5,000 yards.
Wow, that's like a wrestling storyline.
Yeah.
That's legitimately a storyline out of wrestling, not to have you tune out here, but yeah, you win a title in a company, and then you just leave the company with the title, leaving that company confused as to what they do next. Textbook CM Punk.
I would love that. I would love that. I do need to calculate it out. Maybe we'll do that over the break and actually give you that number, and then also we're going to take it to the house with you as we do a little crossover with Russo and Rizzo. Who we got today between my guy Mike Rizzo and Colin Russo?
We got Colin Russo, who texted me, and I have forgotten to text him back.
Okay.
So I hope he's still here.
Maybe we don't have him. Maybe we don't have him. We'll see if we have him. And while I make the calculations between Tony Romo's 34,000 and Dak Prescott's 29,000 to see how close it actually is, because that will be an amazing storyline, how about you listen to some of our friends tell you about their wonderful businesses? On the other side, taking it to the house. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We'll get one of the two from Russo and Rizzo on the other side. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We have stumbled upon something here on Theoretically Speaking today on a Football Friday that is too good to hold in. I mean, we got to give it to y'all because I think it's an electric storyline. It's almost adjacent to wrestling storylines that CCAT follows, and that's Dak Prescott potentially becoming the all-time leading passer for the Dallas Cowboys this year, surpassing both Troy Aikman and Tony Romo, who holds the current record, and walking off and getting a record-setting deal elsewhere in free agency, maybe $60 million a year. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're back on Theoretically Speaking at CCAT on the ones and twos on the other side of the glass. And if you're on YouTube and you're watching, you see my guy Colin Russo pulled up in his Jaguars long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And it's because it's what? Wear your favorite NFL team day.
Wear your favorite ever NFL team day. Yeah. I don't have a jersey with me in West Palm Beach, and I should. And it's going to need to be, I'm going to need to figure out how to get it to me.
Yeah.
But I just didn't bring it. And I think jerseys are an overrated piece of memorabilia because you could only wear it in a very select few environments.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's game day. Maybe if you're at like a restaurant or a bar watching the game, you're not wearing it on the street.
I would hope not. Well, I mean, how do you feel about the Ravens camo pants? CCAT was telling me about how they wear these, and I saw a guy last night at Duffy's that had them on with the Ravens jersey, and they're like purple, black.
Right. Kind
of, it's like a...
Yeah, the Packers have cheese heads. Yeah. The Dog Pound have like dog masks, and Ravens fans have purple camo pants that go along with their jerseys.
Don't you think that the Ravens, they already have, it works. What they have works. Like, why mess with it? I think they have very sleek colorways and jerseys. Why add a camo to that?
Because it's delineating yourselves as fans. You leave the cool blackout uniforms for the players, maybe the all whites, the purple and whites, And you know what? The fans take ownership for it. Like, none of the players or the team doesn't really shell out the purple camo, just the fans.
What do you associate camo with? Like, military?
Yeah. Both hunting and military.
Ah, hunting. I don't think about
hunting.
That.
Hunting. So, there's no hunting in Baltimore, right?
Not much. Well, you know.
Maybe.
I mean, not the casual wedding, but that's not.
How do we define that?
That's not a.
That's another conversation.
Totally another.
Another lifetime. But nonetheless, camo, nothing to do with. I understand the Midwest.
It looks
Wisconsin
cool.
Wisconsin is hunting. That's works with.
They think it looks cool. That's the issue, and I'm trying to tell them it's tacky. Can you? Is there a way, C-Cat, while I give out this number, that you can look up Dak Prescott's like a betting line, a number on how many passing yards he can get this season? I got the number right here in front of me. The gap between Dak Prescott and Tony Romo for all-time leading passer in Cowboys history. The number is 4,724 passing yards from Dak Prescott this year, and he eclipses Tony Romo.
That's interesting because 4,700 in the regular season playing all 17 games, probably tricky.
Yeah.
But if you add a playoff game into the mix, it's a lot more attainable.
Well, I don't know if playoff games would count towards this record, but he's thrown for 4,900 in 2019.
Is it all
in 16
time
games?
Regular season?
Regular season, I believe. I believe the stat is for regular
that
season.
That is set. That's confirmed?
Yes. Because Mahomes became the all-time leading passer for the Chiefs in a regular season history. Dak would need 4,700. And last year he had 4,500 in 17 games. And if the defense takes a little bit of a step back, if he and CeeDee Lamb are connecting on a level that's a little higher and he's chasing after again, I mean, look at the motivation for Dak. He's about to try to get $60 million a year. I think perfect storyline ending if he's able to go out, throw for 4,700, you know, yards, pass up Tony Romo, the same guy that he literally got his job over when he was a fourth-round pick coming out of Ole Miss or Mississippi State. And then, boom, that's walking off into the sunset. You're not winning a championship with the Cowboys, but maybe you get in the record books.
I'm not completely versed in the Cowboys contract situation. I'm going to assume it's ugly. But nonetheless, if they start 4-1, you think they cut together a bunch of cap and try to get Prescott locked down before the end of the year, before he has all the leverage?
I believe they have space to do it now, and they're just waiting. I think he's also waiting because he has so much leverage. Like, you have no incentive if you're Dak Prescott to sign
unless
early.
They give you $60 million and you're winning.
Yeah. I guess you're right. If that happens.
Where's your leverage is once you leave, and then you can get as big as you want. But if they're going to throw you the $60 million, which is the number he's looking for, then I don't know why he wouldn't sign it. He probably wants to stay. I don't know if he wants to deal with the scrutiny, because he's probably the most scrutinized player in the entire league.
Him or Lamar Jackson, which you're going to lead off your show with Mike Rizzo today. Some Lamar talk, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll tease it a little bit.
Yeah.
The idea that Lamar Jackson is taking steps forward in the last 3 or 4 years, I think, is completely fabricated.
Whew.
I don't know. The Lamar and the Ravens that we have seen the last 2 to 3 years is a lot of the same. And I don't think C-Cat particularly agrees with me, and I know the Ravens had a great regular season last year, but my point is, I think they're ceilinged out. I think you could see the top of the mountain with them, and I think, to be honest, I think they've passed it. So that's my take on that.
That is a great tease. We call that a tease. We're going to get that when Russo and Rizzo starts. But for now, I got to give the people what they don't have to watch over this weekend, because I'm guaranteeing it. It's time to take it to the house. All right, first and foremost, tee up your taste buds. Colin, you're new to the area, so I got to tell you about The House West Palm Beach.
All right.
You haven't been yet, right?
No, I have not.
This place is exquisite, right? So you know about the park. That's the immaculate golf course out here in West Palm.
Absolutely.
They had the match last year. The House is a restaurant right there at the park, and you don't have to play golf to sit down and have some good food. Coastal American cuisine.
What can you ask for?
It opened Thursday through Sunday. 4 days through the weekend. That's why we take it to the house on the weekend. They got brunch. They've got happy hours. Their cocktails, by the way, craft and beautifully made. I always love them. They don't short you on the alcohol, and it also tastes good. And I'll tell you this too, Colin. Their happy hour, actually half off for the cocktails. Half off.
You don't see that a lot in these areas.
You don't see it. That doesn't happen. Take it to the house
this
weekend.
That's a lost art.
It's all the happy hours are usually kind of cheap you on those, but not at the house. Not at the house, West Palm. Hop online, make a reservation for yourself. The House West Palm. When you get an entree at the house, you actually get a free round at the Lit 9 Par 3 golf course right out there, right out back. You can walk out there, you can play it that day, or you can wait a couple days later and come back out and pull the clubs out and go through it. Love the Lit 9. It always boosts my confidence with my golf game. Take it to the house this weekend. I always do. TheHouseWestPalm.com to book some reservations. This is what you can take to the house this weekend, by the way. You don't even got to watch this game. You don't even got to watch it because I'm giving you what's going to happen. So, let's start here. Divisional home dogs are 9-2 against the spread since 2018. Would you say that's like an advantage?
A divisional home dog?
Divisional home dogs 9-2 against the spread since 2018.
Yeah. It's pretty good. You got to assume that most divisional teams will split in the home and home. Yeah. That's what you got to assume.
So, if you're a home dog, 9-2 against the spread since 2018, how about we walk it back, give you a bigger sample size? Since 2012, divisional home dogs are 17-4 against the spread. It's even more convincing.
Sure is.
We're getting bought in here. How about this? Since 2010, divisional home dogs are 22-7 against the spread. In week one, we're talking about specifically in week one, and the Colts are a home dog by 3 points against everybody's favorite, the Houston Texans. This game's Sunday at 1 p.m. How about you just take it to the house, enjoy some cocktails. Maybe you watch the game as well as you're eating, because you ain't got to watch this one. 58% of the public money right now on the Texans. I get it. They're everybody's darling. That's my hometown. I hate to short the city. I love the city, baby. Houston got my heart. But the Colts, not only am I saying that they're going to cover that 3.5 at home with Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen, and the crew, they're going to win that thing outright. Take it to the house this weekend. Colin, looking forward to what y'all got.
Appreciate having me.
C-Cat, much love. Yes, let's get some high school football today. Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy.